Welcome to the Untangling Web3 podcast. Today, we're recording from ETH Denver, as you can see. Huge thanks to YAP Global for hooking us up with this incredible podcast suite. Crypto, it's often accused of being speculative, providing no real utility, but could it actually be the key to promoting healthier lifestyles? Today, we'll be discussing the movement economy, and with us, we have a very special guest, Oleg Fomenko. Oleg is the co-founder of Sweat Economy, a platform driving the movement economy by rewarding physical activity. Its non-custodial sweat wallet has 15 million users, and its native token, Sweat, ranks 9th in holdings and 13th in usage globally. Oleg previously co-founded Sweatcoin, a Web2 health and fitness app that partnered with the UK's NHS to encourage active lifestyles, laying the groundwork for Sweat Economy's Web3 expansion. Oleg, welcome to the show.
Wow. Alex, thank you very much for having me, and yeah, exciting place and really, really good venue.
Yeah.
Wow, that was an impressive bio.
Yeah, that's your bio. It's very impressive.
I clearly haven't written it. I'm like, well, I would talk to me as well.
I love that. But we're right in the middle of it here. So how's your ETH Denver been so far?
You know what? It's been weird. I think it's my fourth time, and right now, it's probably the most confused state of everyone's mind.
Okay.
You know, I see a lot of brave faces.
Yeah.
But I actually, if I look sort of deeper, you kind of see this confused, no, I wouldn't call it fear even. It's just confusion that, you know, kind of people just can't explain what's going on. Because everything supposed, you know, kind of all the signs are positive. Mm-hmm. But the market is just not doing what everyone was expecting it to do. And, you know, kinda, it just really creates quite a lot of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kinda, that makes this event, I think, probably most interesting for me, because typically you come in and you know that, you know, these are the themes and, you know, this is the stuff that people will be driving. Here, I find very interesting to just talk to people and try to pull out, you know, kind of what do they see as next things?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I do feel that big, big, big change is afoot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm actually really, really excited about it.
Nice. You're totally right. It's the 28th of February, so the market is in a bit of a dire state right now. But, like, I think it's kind of like a purge in a lot of ways, where the assets that last are the projects that last through these, like, bear markets and big, like, turmoils are the ones that have real utility, the ones that add value. Yep. All this like meme coin speculation stuff, like that doesn't last because it adds no real value. That's why I wanted to speak to you, because your project seems, in my mind anyway, like the polar opposite. And I really want to know a lot about it. I'm actually a user in some ways, so this is like a shareholder meeting where I'm trying to put it to the boss. Let's kick it off. Yep. What exactly is the movement economy?
Look, when we started in 2014, 10 years ago, with Sweatcoin, even the name was suggesting that we want to be on blockchain. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we want to be on blockchain was because we realized that physical activity movement is actually an asset. It is valuable activity. And, you know, to illustrate what it means, let me draw a parallel between physical activity or being active and paying attention.
Okay.
Paying attention has created $7 trillion attention economy.
Social media and all this, yeah?
Absolutely. Now, being physically active and paying attention are similar because nature gave these, you know, kind of abilities to you because they're valuable. Mm-hmm. They, you know, kind of make your survival better. Mm-hmm. They add, you know, kind of massive amount of abilities to your existence.
Yeah.
It's also interesting that there are third parties benefiting from both of those. Attention, or paying attention, is advertisers, very obvious. Yep. You know, kind of everyone understands that. Being physically active, healthcare providers, insurers, employers, governments. You know, that's the reason why Sweatcoin's got this big contract with National Health Service in the UK, because making people physically active actually creates an immense amount of economic value. And the third parallel is both as cars. You don't have an unlimited amount of attention. You don't have an unlimited amount of physical activity. Now, we managed to build $7 trillion economy around attention, why on earth we don't have trillions of dollars of economy built around physical activity? That was our thesis. And in order to build it, and in order not to spend 25 to 30 years, which took attention economy to come through, we thought, actually, if we tokenize the value of physical activity, that will facilitate this economic exchange a lot faster, and it will be tradable. You know, all of a sudden, you actually have financial value, and you're creating RWA, you know, real-world asset that is an asset, it's real-world, but it cannot come into existence unless it's on chain.
I get you. Okay.
And the last thing that I wanted to add is I'm personally really, really anti-attention economy or the way it works right now. Mm. Because the way it works is Google takes your attention, sells it to the highest bidder, and puts all the money in their pocket. And all you get is 2 gigs with your Gmail. That's not an equitable exchange of value. And that's why in attention economy, we have created this massive, super profitable big tech businesses. Yeah. And I believe that movement economy should be built in a completely different way. And if we decentralize and tokenize your physical activity and you get that value as opposed to some central entity, then first of all, it's going to make the world more physically active, create a lot more value, and it will turn you into the owner of this economy as opposed to create two or three, you know, kind of mammoths in the business that will then start pursuing their own social strategy, political strategy, et cetera, et cetera.
I love it. I'm such a big fan of this, and I'm glad you touched on the attention economy we have right now. Because, yeah, sure, it makes money, it's very profitable, all this kind of stuff, but overall, it's a net negative value, I think, for humanity. It's why there's so many people opposed to it. You've seen
because
so much...
Because it's extractive.
Exactly. That's a great way of describing it.
You give time, but you get very little back.
And it's why there's
so
much...
addiction.
So much, like, regulatory pushback now, and government trying to push back, and, like, people aren't letting their kids use social media. But the thing you're proposing, I think, is just so valuable for society. And we're in this kind of health pandemic or health epidemic right now, and we need solutions like that. We don't just need the stick where we tax, you know, bad foods and all this kind of stuff. We also need the carrot to encourage people. So you kind of, there's so much, you've already touched on so many Web3 terms, like the idea of ownership, RWAs, all this kind of stuff. But the first version, and I'm a Brit, so I'm particularly interested in the NHS and the fact that you partnered with them.
I spent 22 years in the UK.
Did you? I can tell from the accent. It's got a London
twinge. They didn't manage to, you know, can change it completely, but there are some glimpses of it, yes.
So what was the kind, can you explain what the initial Web2 health app was, how it worked, what kind of problem you were solving there?
Yeah. So in 2014, my previous business perished in very unfortunate circumstances. Okay. And I went for a run to clear my head because I fired a lot of people and was on the hook for, you know, just, you know, complicated stuff. I went to clear my head and I started at a very, very good pace. And at about 2 kilometers, 2 or 3, I realized that I couldn't maintain it. And it really was very disappointing because 2.5, 3 years before then, I was able to climb some of the highest mountains in the world. And here I am not able to do a decent pace at 5K. Mm. And I started thinking about, you know, kind of what's going on, why, you know, kind of how come that, you know, kind of I lost my fitness so quickly. And of course, there are excuses. You know, I had a startup that just perished. I had two young children. But I studied psychology and sociology when I was at uni. And there was something there that kind of made me feel that I need to dig deeper. And with my co-founders, I kind of started really researching the topic. And I realized, you know, every single person in the world wants to be more physically active. Regardless, if you're training for a marathon, you would want to have one more day when you're active. Or if you're depressed, unemployed, 11 a.m. in the morning watching TV with a bottle of beer in your hand, you still want to actually be physically active. You just don't find motivation and, you know, kind of and desire and the drive. And when you have a universal problem like that, there is typically a very, very deep and underlying reason. And it turns out that the reason why nobody is as active as they want to be is because nature doesn't want you to be active. Nature did not build you to be active.
Okay.
Nature optimized you for survival. And that means preserving calories rather than spending them. I mean, can you imagine, you know, kind of Neanderthals or, you know, kind of
I understand.
Australopithecuses doing pull-ups, push-ups, and, you know, kind of running around? No. You run if there is mammoth showing up, because that's food. You need to get it. Or if there is a saber-toothed tiger is about to make food out of you, then you run.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you sit around the fire. That's our programming. That's what nature actually built into us. So, you know, kind of sitting around the fire is extremely natural reaction. In fact, nature is so adamant that this is a preferred route that it created this behavioral, now it would be a bug, but it used to be a feature called present bias. You focus on right here, right now, either getting food now, avoiding death now, but, you know, kind of anything far-fetched.
Okay.
You know, let me illustrate. If I say, Alex, you know, I'll pay you $10 million in 10 years, that would be very, very uninteresting.
Well,
it's called hyperbolic discounting. In 10 years, they'd be dragons.
Yeah, you know, kind of, I get you.
But right here, right now, is what motivates us.
We want the instant gratification.
Exactly.
Kind of.
And there is only one way to deal with present biases, instant gratification. How do we know that? Because there is another behavior that is really badly affected by present bias, procreation. Are you a father?
I'm not. I'm not going to be anytime soon.
I've got two kids, so I can talk about it.
Okay.
You know, I do believe that if nature didn't give us an orgasm, we would have been superseded by cockroaches a long, long time ago.
The dopamine hit you're saying that we're kind of getting addicted to.
It just reward for a certain behavior that also happens to be a route to procreation. Now, nature didn't give us an organ for exercise.
Yeah.
And we're screwing up on that royally.
Okay.
And that was the original thought. Okay, how can we create an instant gratification, this tiny little nudge that really just gives you these tiny little pushes that you don't even feel that change your behavior?
I didn't expect us to go into the psychology of these apps, but it's quite powerful that you have that background, because, I mean, there's so many of these like behavioral psychologists working for the big tech companies that make these like social media apps so addictive and so engaging.
Dopamine, oxytocin loops, timing.
100%. That's such a powerful arc. Like, but so what was the app in its like infancy? How did it work? How were you given this?
You know, it's a free app.
Yeah.
We track your steps. We very early realized that we need to verify it in a very draconian fashion, because as soon as you pay people to walk, you attract huge number of scammers, thieves, you know. Kinda.
Yeah, I understand.
There is even a website called unfitbits.com that teaches people how to screw with your phone or wearable to believe that you're physically active while you're not.
Well, I've seen these little devices now, the little
Gradles,
steppers,
bonkers.
And I was like, what the hell is this for? And then I realized it's to game these, like, it's typically for insurance, like Vitalities of the world, to game the health apps to reduce their premium and all this kind of stuff. Bonkers.
In China, in WeChat, there are certain services and certain companies that were also rewarding physical activity. So they build this Cradles that basically shake your phone the whole day. And we had to solve all of that, because, you know, kind of, can you imagine if you actually give financial value for steps? Jesus. We would have sometimes 100,000 people just influx on one day, and we're just going, okay. And the data starts coming in, and it's all identical, and you're just going to go, wipe it. We had to build a fraud team, but in our world, it's not like in a bank where it's financial transactions. You know, these people are tracking fraud when people try to
fake accounts, farming, all this kind of stuff. Yeah.
And just submit bollocks data. Yeah. You know, kind of putting phone on the dog and let the dog run in the park. You know, or putting it on a dishwasher, because guess what? Dishwashers shake.
Kind of ingenious in a way. Like, I kind of know. In one way, on your side of it, you hate it, but I'm kind of like, that's quite intelligent.
It's entertaining. We have regular meetings where, you know, kind of guys are presenting, like, you know, kind of there is a new anomaly. We dug into it. This is the stuff that people do. You're like, they do what? You know, there is a village in Pakistan that basically was rotating bunch of phones on a rope overhead.
Oh my God.
Or maybe they had a windmill or something. Wow. But basically 24.
And you're like, we have a million people just going around in circle on the step tracker. That's bonkers.
It is absolutely crazy.
So was the basics, you were tracking steps and then people were being rewarded in the app?
You verify them.
Okay.
And then if it's genuine and you sweat it, then we pay you. And we started with Sweatcoin, as I said, in 2014, but we couldn't put it on blockchain because there was only Bitcoin. We screwed around and we tried to fork Bitcoin. You know, kind of, if you're interested in, you know, if your audience you feel is technical enough, I can actually go into what was the original thesis, what we thought we would build.
We've got a lot to get through. So, okay. I think roughly, but like, were you, was it like a more loyalty point based system? Because you said it was quite Web 2 early on, so I'm kind of trying to work at how
the rewards. No. The original point was, we'll turn your steps into currency, we'll pay you sweat coins.
Okay.
They will be on blockchain as soon as we can find chain fast enough and robust enough. And it took 7 years for blockchain tech to mature, and we only were able to launch in 2022 because by then we had 120 million users on Sweatcoin. And even in 2016, when Ethereum became sort of close to launch, we already needed 200 transactions per second, which was nearly 20x, you know, the maximum of Ethereum. So we realized that launching centralized actually saved our butts and saved the chain that we would have been building on.
So what was happening in that time period while you were kind of from 2014 being like an IOU, when we go to chain, we will give you these points. Was it kind of that situation?
Yeah.
So exactly. It was literally just points building, and when we go to mainnet launch, we'll give it to you.
Exactly.
Damn.
And that's what we've done in September 2022. You know, our audience basically said, I'm in, and then the balance of sweat coins was converted into sweat one-to-one, and that was effectively GGE.
That's crazy, though, to kind of get that loyalty from people on an IOU. It shows like how impressive the use case in the app is that people stuck with you for 6 years on the promise that you would eventually launch.
But, you know, let's think about it. What's the alternative?
Yeah.
To be honest, like, you know that being physically active is good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is, in mind of people, always associated, I spend money, I need to pay for a gym, I need to buy kit, I need to get personal trainer, and here I'm getting paid?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much. It's infinitely more than the closest alternative.
Yeah,
so I'm getting healthier, and I'm getting wealthier. You know, what's not to like?
Exactly.
The app is free, everyone's got legs, and miraculously, and this is actually what I'm most proud of, we've done medical-grade research, and our users are walking 20% more after installing the app.
Wow.
Subtle, tiny little nudges, you know, that all of a sudden kind of make you go, yeah, you know what, I'll take more steps today than yesterday. And that burns calories. That makes people all of a sudden think about not just physical activity, but also what they eat, how they think, and you know, kind of, we build this whole ecosystem of partners around health, sport, fitness, fashion, vanity, you know, kind of makeup, you know, dog accessories. You know, nearly half of our users have pets.
Yeah.
And you know, kind of, we absolutely love that. You know, kind of, I walk with my dog every day, and you know, kind of, if not for the dog, I think that my step count probably would be half of what it is right now.
And I get why governments are the biggest proponents of this, because like I say, there's a healthcare, you know, epidemic right now with obesity going through the roof, and the cost and burden to society to maintain that. Like the NHS right now completely overwhelmed with, you know, people with weight issues and whatnot. So I'm I guess, are they some of the biggest like advocates for this stuff as well?
Indeed, but let's look at the bigger picture. I mean, we know that movement has value, and that's one thing. If we're going straight into crypto, you know, when you typically think of a token, there is only one thing that creates value in it: utility or a promise of utility.
Yeah.
That's why everyone chases narratives. You know, kind of, there is a new narrative.
Following the story.
But what is narrative? The narrative is effectively a promise of future profit.
Okay.
Now, the interesting thing with Sweat is, Sweat's got another dimension that other tokens don't have, which is intuitive, emotional understanding that the value of Sweat is non-zero.
Okay.
I sweated over it.
It's like proof of work in a way, isn't it? Like,
it's a proof of sweat. I mean, you know, if I give you an airdrop, what normally happens is people sell all the way down to zero because it's like, you know, kind of magic internet money, right? It came for nothing. So whatever I make is infinitely more. But if you earn by sweating, by moving, then all of a sudden you kind of go like, you know, right now the world is paying for 10,000 steps, given our token price, 1.2 cents. And the person looks at it and kind of goes like, what? This is worth infinitely more. Yeah. I will hodl. And that's the reason why our tokenomics really works, because our users are kind of going, okay, I know it's good for me. Mm. I'm earning this token. I know that the worth of this token is heck of a lot higher. I'm just going to put it into effectively saving accounts, which we call grow jar, and earn interest rather than sell and get cents. What, you know, what's the sense of, you know, in that? And there is another angle. Last year, we've given 3 grants to universities and think tanks to actually take a step back and analyze all the literature that was published on the benefits of being active and turn it into economic value.
Okay.
Right? And they came back with, you know, huge plethora of answers, but the consensus value of 10,000 steps right now stands at $3.96.
Really?
So when you take 10,000 steps, if you look at government, because you're actually extending your health span, you're going to be economically active for longer, you're going to pay more taxes.
But you don't think about, I never thought about that, actually, the idea of, like, because it's a big problem in, say, the Western world right now with, like, I mean, the working economy is cliff diving, right? We're having less and less people actually contribute to the economy, more people getting old and not being able to perform.
Absolutely.
It's fascinating. It's something that's come up in the UK specifically right now.
Absolutely.
And then they're not addressing it in any way.
You know, kind of, slowly but surely we're getting there. I mean, if you think of employers, we know that physically active people have a lot lower absenteeism, higher productivity, you know, fewer problems with mental health, etc. And all of a sudden, these guys basically took, like, you know, kind of 10,000 feet view, and they came back with these various estimates, and it's $3.96 in economic value that exists now, but is ripped by various different parties that don't even know frequently where this value is coming from. And this is exactly the thesis that we are driving, that, you know what? Sweat is a tokenized physical activity. It facilitates all of those economic exchanges. We want to build this $1 trillion movement economy powered by sweat, because you should be able to pay part of your, you know, insurance premium in sweat. You should be able to pay part of your taxes in sweat, because if you pay in sweat, you put less pressure on healthcare system, and you're going to live longer, and you're going to be economically active for longer, and you're going to pay more taxes, as you know, in the long run.
Today's episode is sponsored by the VeChain Foundation.
Now, we often talk about how emerging technologies like blockchain have the potential to revolutionize sustainability, and VeChain is at the forefront of this green movement with initiatives like VBetterDAO. Let's take a closer look.
Imagine tracking small actions, like recycling, at low cost, making them valuable assets. These verified records build a massive collective impact, benefiting people through their own actions. Sound a bit complex, but VeChain made it fun. Explore our apps at vbetter.com.
VeChain's goal is to power a new era of sustainable solutions. So if you've got an app idea or just want to earn rewards for small, sustainable actions every day, go check out vbetterdao.com to find out more. And now, back to the show. I really like the idea of you describing this as, like, real-world assets being tokenized on-chain. The idea of movement being tokenized at first, I was like, I don't get it. But then the fact that you say it actually has strong economic value across so many different things like you just described is really powerful. So do you think that you've... Because, like, that is one of the narratives that is dominating the crypto space right now. I think partly it's been fueled by the meme coin hype where people are trying to separate and actually prove they have utility. Do you think that Sweatcoin is fitting into that narrative quite well and people get it instantly when you describe it as, like, a real-world asset being tokenized?
Yeah, I mean, let's differentiate slightly. So Sweatcoin, I mean, and I know it sounds really confusing, but because we launched it in 2014, it is actually a centralized token, you know, kind of point system, right? We created Sweat or Ticker Sweat and Sweat Wallet. So you install Sweatcoin, free app, it tracks your steps. If you press a button, walk into crypto, you create a crypto account, you start earning sweat, and you receive it in Sweat Wallet. And the reason why we've done that is because, you know that Google and Apple are not necessarily in love with crypto. And if we were to collapse crypto right into Sweatcoin, we would basically have a lot more conversations with Apple and Google than we have right now.
Okay.
So Sweat Wallet sort of bears the brunt of, of all those crypto regulation, legalities.
It's about getting approved on the app stores.
Exactly.
I get you. Okay.
Exactly. So, you know, coming back to your question, so it's Sweat. And, you know, the long-term value of Sweat is going to be determined by this perception of value of movement that people have intuitively, but we're starting to put hard, cold numbers on.
Yeah.
And the second is utility that we're building. And there is a lot of utility already. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason why people hold and buy Sweat right now is because when you participate in Growjar, you know, we had to call staking.
What's Growjar? Can you explain this to me?
Yeah. So when we were doing research into our users, everybody wanted to get into Web3, but there were three massive barriers that were preventing them from doing that. Barrier one, they were kind of looking at products and kind of going, not you know, kind of swapping or derivative trading, or you know, kind of people like, I don't do it in my real life.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't know heads and tails, you know, kind of if I go into crypto. So quite a lot of stuff in crypto is trading, finance, you know, very, very complicated. And for people that got quite a lot of liquidity and is not necessarily appealing to mass market.
And that's your target audience, right? It's retail users, end users, right? Yeah. Normal people like you and me. Okay.
Absolutely. Because look, I mean, let's look back at the internet. You know, that's exactly when, you know, kind of internet became what it is right now.
Yeah.
You know, until year 2000, all the money went into infrastructure. And the biggest company or the largest company by capitalization was Cisco.
Yeah.
And 2000, you know, kind of dot-com bubble and consumer internet kicked off. And now we know with the benefit of hindsight that pretty much all the money made on the internet were made in consumer internet. And this is exactly what's coming here, because if we onboard next billion people, this is going to be, you know, kind of 2.5, 3 trillion total valuation of crypto that we have right now.
Yeah.
When we will look at it in 10, 15 years time, that's going to be that asymptotic tail thing that will be virtually flat, because you can create so much more value if you really, really drive adoption of crypto, you know, into billions and billions of people.
But do you still think that you need institutions on board to maybe, like, say with the NHS, for example, is that a good example where you need both, but the institutions give you access to those end users as well?
You know, not really. They don't give us access to end users. You know, our partnership with the NHS is there are a lot of people that are getting diagnosed with diabetes syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have 6-month window within which you have to change your lifestyle and you need to change your diet. Changing diet is easy. Lifestyle is hard.
Yeah.
And lifestyle means that you need to be a heck of a lot more active than you were before. This is where we come in.
Okay.
And, you know, can NHS is not, you know, kind of sending us to millions and tens of millions of Britons to use.
Yeah.
They go very, very targeted and they say, look, actually, here is a group of people. We really, really need to change their lifestyle.
Okay.
And we help with that. But we know that economic case there is absolutely phenomenal, because if you stop these people from becoming diabetic, you know, you create an immense amount of value. The estimates that it saves, like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pounds to low millions over the lifetime, just in NHS costs, insulin, you know, emergencies of that. So, you know, kind of it's a starting point. We intuitively know that there is a movement economy out there, but we just haven't been busy building it.
Okay.
25 years ago, I used to have conversation with people about what is attention worth? And people were kind of blinking and kind of going, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you know, your attention is worth something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, and right now, we know the value of your attention down to 18th decimal, right? And I feel like 25 years ago, attention, that's a conversation that we're having about movement or physical activity. You know, like, physical activity has value. Everyone agree. How much? you know, reframe the question. In 10 years' time, we will know the value of physical
activity.
It'll
be a no-brainer. Yeah.
You know, kind of really, really precisely.
Okay.
And a lot of it, with our help, will be going into your pocket as opposed to create, you know, kind of couple of more big techs that will have their own agenda on the way the world should be developing.
Okay, I get you. And then, so we've talked about real world assets, talked about crypto, how these things fit in. Like, we're at ETH Denver right now. It seems like every other store is talking about AI. So I know that you're potentially, well, you're planning to integrate AI into the system right now.
Yeah, it's already working.
Oh, tell me about it. How does it work?
Right, so actually we dabbled into AI first time October last year. And the reason was, okay, let's start experimenting, because unlike most other businesses, We're not very narrative driven. We are problem driven. So what we're trying to do is to make the world physically active. And our metric of success is the value of an active day, 10,000 steps.
Okay.
How much is it in dollars to actually walk 10,000 steps? Because the higher it is, the more people will be active and the more active they will be. And the economic value created is going to be absolutely phenomenal.
Can you explain that to me? So when you say, right now you said 10,000 steps is worth about $3, but we can make that worth more in what way?
So, no, actually, the way you mine sweat is every next sweat requires more steps from you to mine.
Okay.
So it's like Bitcoin halving, but it's happening in real time in aggregate.
Okay.
And the reason why we did that is twofold. One is it motivates you to walk sooner and more.
Okay.
So it kills procrastination. Like, no, I'm going to do it over the weekend.
Okay.
No, actually, return on movement now
is
better than in the evening. It's better than over the weekend.
Okay.
Right? And the second thing is, you start managing your token emissions over time.
Okay.
Because if you're tightening, you know, kind of, we call it minting curve, then even though more people are walking and they're more active, the absolute number of tokens printed is starting to be smaller and smaller. And over time, the inflation goes down to zero.
I understand.
So we have uncapped supply in theory, but in reality, we've been deflationary already since July 2023.
Okay.
And that's what differentiates us, I think, from a lot of other projects, because I frequently talk to people like, oh, is it like Stepn? Or is it like StepUp? And I'm like, yeah, I suppose so. But the difference is we started 10 years before in 2014.
Mm.
We managed to figure out how to actually verify your movement, because it's extremely important. That's one of the reasons why a lot of these businesses fail, because they attract grinders and you know, scammers and fraudsters, as opposed to real people.
You don't get good value distribution then.
No, absolutely. You know, if you're a real user, you know, and you look at the leaderboard, you need to know that the person above you has sweated, as opposed to, you know, shook the phone a bit more.
Again, this is a fundamental of like blockchain tech as well. It's transparency.
Exactly.
Everyone has an equal chance, all this kind of stuff. So I like that alignment as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, we've done that movement verification. And the other thing that we spend a lot of time on is tokenomics, because we've been profitable in Web2 for years. We know how to make money.
Yeah.
And we realize that you cannot really sell tickets at the doorstep and then promise more earning than the ticket. It actually needs to be a lot broader. That's why we have millions of users and a lot of our competitors virtually none, because you don't need to pay $1,000 for trainers in order to start generating sweat. However, we are able to generate really big revenues in sweat, which basically go into burn, and in fiat and in other tokens.
Okay.
We already cover about 1/3 of our total costs, and we're on track to become profitable within next 18 to 24 months.
Wow.
Which very few crypto businesses are talking about, but fundamentally, this is what's going to separate, you know, those that will perish and those that will be here 20, 30 years down the line.
100%. Like profitability, like it's like a lot of the Web3 crypto, they don't have that mindset of we need to be profitable because it's all just finger in the air speculation. But you coming from the Web2 background and having that as like, this has to be a business that makes sense and solves a problem that people will pay for and we can make money from long term is so important. I think these bear markets that happen is going to purge all the people that aren't thinking like that. But I interrupted you. You were talking about how the AI is going to add value to the wallet. What's the...
So having all of this context, what we realized is that, you know, kind of, we need to double into AI because, you know, kind of, let's just learn even how to, or what words to use and how to call things. That brings me to step jars, grow jars. You know, staking, when we researched our users, staking was associated with Count Dracula and the stake through the heart. It's not financial product, right? But everyone knows savings account or, you know, and when we call a grow jar, people are like, yeah, you put sweat in there, it grows. Okay, makes sense, right? So 95% of our users are brand new to crypto. We need to use slightly different language. And we realize that they come in and they come in cold. They don't have a lot of information. We give them lessons and FAQs and all of that. But you know what? It's actually onerous on users.
Yeah.
So when we gave them an alpha product, what it was is you ask a question and three models give you answers in parallel, because there is so much hallucination that when you see three models doing, you know, answering the same question, all of a sudden, you kind of have a lot of confidence that, you know, again, this is not just some kind of
random
thing.
Okay.
Right? We launched it, not much hope. 700,000 questions were asked.
Wow.
And now we launched our super kind of personalized AI assistant that is integrated directly into our app. And it has a separate tab where basically this assistant is trained specifically to deal with those scenarios and those questions.
Is it mostly about the apps or mostly about the tech bit? Or
it addresses several things. One is Web3 and crypto, and of course Sweat and Sweat Wallet.
Got you.
The other area is physical activity and tracking and, you know, information on me, right? And the third thing is, you know, just help me navigate things.
Okay.
And, you know, kind of one thing that we've realized is that by integrating this AI assistant directly into a mobile phone, we are, you know, kind of multiple X better in terms of context than a lot of AI agents out there. Because typically, AI agents look at the on-chain data. Mm. Now, in our case, there is an on-chain data, of course, you know, kind of like everyone else. But then there is personal data that, you know, is related to your physical activity or personal data that you might have on your device.
Okay.
We're not asking for permissions for it from our users right now,
but
we dabbled into it. The stuff that we can actually add to the context.
It's like personalize their experience. Yeah. Be like,
you know, if you're tracking your heart rate, for example, you can augment things with your heart rate.
I get you.
And all of a sudden, you can give very personalized information.
Wow.
But what is also interesting is that these devices allow you to see telemetry and some kind of environmental data. Let me give you an example. Users are asking, so why the hell sweat is valuable, right? You know, literally, that, you know, this is what people type. And, you know, we kind of go, okay, because it's backed by the value of physical activity. You know intuitively it's not zero. Here is an academic research. Here are the links. This is the utility of token. And then we're saying that, look, we're on track to be profitable. And as a foundation without shareholders, there is no profit distribution in any shape or form other than buying tokens on the open market.
Okay.
So, and then people go like, okay, where can I buy it? Yeah, you can buy it here, here, here. And I can give you an answer. Well, I see that there is an OKX installed on your device. Would you like to open it
now?
And you can press, you know, and it's not something that goes away from your device.
Yeah.
It's not an information that goes and, you know, kind of somebody on the internet kind of can get access to, but the agent can.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
You press a button and it opens OKX on a trading page of Sweat USDT.
Bonkers.
So how many pain points have been removed? How much education has been, you know, kind of completely sort of sidestepped? How many clicks have been removed from the user journey, you know, in order to kind of deliver this service to users? So we're super, super excited about it because, you know, kind of it, all of a sudden, we can also kill some functionality in the app. Like we have DAO voting. We actually had votes that were 10x bigger than any other DAO vote in Web3 history. We had a vote with 383,000 people casting their vote. But this happened three or four times a year, maybe five.
Mm.
And but we have a button, we have screens, because that's how mobile application works. Now, with this super personalized AI assistant, I can send you a push notification. There is a new vote. You click on it. And you go into chat interface where you can research those options deeper than we would ever be able to describe them to you in a graphic interface. You can ask questions, pros and cons, etc., and you can cast your vote right there. So I can free up some estate.
Mm.
I can reduce the amount of code and graphic interfaces that we need to build.
Yeah.
But you will actually get better service because, you know, kind of when you cast your vote, you need to do it thoughtfully and agent will be able to have a very, very deep conversation and provide you a lot more insight than we ever will be able to with a kind of predefined and structured text.
I also imagine it helps you as a company as well. Be like, what are people asking questions about? What haven't we explained properly?
Yeah.
Let's improve ourselves. I think, so one point on this I want to ask as well is, it seems like you're going more and more down like the personalized health app kind of thing. Is that something you might, so on the, related to the AI and the tokenization, is there an angle where you might say, eventually offer a service where people can tokenize their data, maybe add some like privacy preservation, maybe sell it to healthcare companies? Is that something you're looking at in the future?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at our light paper, this is something that I have as a, you know, kind of, there are two things that I believe will be massive use cases for Sweat long term. One is a data marketplace. However, our take on it is we never will monetize this data. We never sold data, we never transferred data to third parties, and we never will. But what we want to do is we want to create a data union over that data so that you can make a decision that actually, I will start monetizing my data.
Okay.
Then you will start earning, but it will be your decision because, you know, I don't want to monetize data because that is something that is so far away from our mission to make the world physically active, because people obsessed with privacy, I don't want them to think that, you know, they shouldn't be using us. They should be comfortable using us because they just don't free up their data, they don't publish it. You know, and that's absolutely fine. Okay. They are not earning that chunk of revenues.
Okay.
But I believe that the future of our business is actually making the movement really, really valuable because the more your active day is worth, this is the best marketing. You know, kind of, how much can I earn per day by walking? Yeah. Oh my God. More people will come in. They will become more active, and we know that it creates economic value. Yeah,
and if individuals can sell that data, that $3 per 10K steps goes up and up. I get it. So, final question. Looking ahead, 5 to 10 years, where is the movement economy going? What are some of the big features you want to see? What are some of the things you want to see for society generally based on this?
Yeah. I'll start maybe a little bit more generic. I think that in 10 years' time, when we're going to look at 24, 25, we're going to see that, oh, this is when we started shifting from infrastructure to consumer.
Okay.
You know, I believe that we're in infrastructure bubble right now. Mm-hmm. 1,800 chains exist, a couple of hundred are still being built. But do you know how many dApps, decentralized apps with more than 1,000 users exist right now in the world?
I'm going to say 500.
Is amazing. Just under 600.
Oh, close.
Now, imagine 1,800 railway companies are chasing 600 carriages to run on them.
That's a good analogy. I like that. That's good.
So we have rails running everywhere
and
no activity on top of them. Now, really, we need to start thinking about consumer crypto. Yeah. And I think the penny is dropping and everyone is starting to realize that another chain is not going to save the world. And we need to start shifting into consumer crypto. And that brings me to what we're doing, because this is a use case for the next billion people.
Mm.
And it seems like charity. We pay people to walk, and people are like, how can you make money? You know, Stepan went to the death spiral. And I'm like, well, if you think hard about it, can I give you cents? Can I give you dollars for your physical activity? Yes. However, if I can persuade you, buy in addition to that and actually start becoming active crypto native, in the, you know, kind of not just on Near where we're building right now, but on any chain, that is extremely valuable and it gives really, really significant revenues and therefore profit over time that is getting reinvested back into Sweat. And the result is that people are more physically active and they're becoming healthier and wealthier, which is a very unusual sort of combination. Normally, it, you know, kind of, it goes exactly in the opposite direction. So to finish off, I believe that movement economy, not move to earn, I believe that move to earn is dead. That's just the wrong way of thinking about it. It's, you know, it's just not going to fly. But movement economy, backed by the value of physical activity, is going to be trillions of dollars. Wow. And we will have a lot of use cases built around it, like, you know, NHS, like, you know, your employer, like, you know, kind of governments, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, it will be built around Sweat. And you know what? That will make it extremely valuable. Let me give you just one thing that, you know, kind of I'm terribly excited about, but it's a very short term. Mm-hmm. At the end of March, we're going to start supporting 6 chains rather than just one.
Oh, really?
But the way, and you know, there are wallets that already support multi-chain, but the way we're building it is not just that there is a support for multiple chains. You will have only one key that will allow you to manage all of those accounts. And it's not MPC, it is upgradable. So you can actually change this key.
Yeah.
You know, you can have social login, you can change it to seed phrase, you can put it into ledger without you losing command of, you know, of those accounts. But what's most important, and this is the biggest frustration that our users have right now in multi-chain world, you will be able to pay your fees with your feet.
Okay.
Right now, when you play in multi-chain world, my biggest boon is I need to own dozens of different tokens. It's a pain in the neck.
Yeah.
100% of our users have sweat. What we're building right now is that any transaction, any action that you take on any chain can be covered with your physical activity. And it is extremely exciting because nobody likes paying fees, right?
Yeah.
And that creates an additional utility for sweat because on Near or on Solana, you can definitely walk enough to be very
fees.
Active. Yeah. Wow. But if you want to be, you know, kind of, if you want to pay your fees on Ethereum, you know, kind of, it's going to take a wee bit longer. Or you can actually buy one token instead of buying a bunch of different tokens to operate on different chains.
Wow. Oh, like, this has been really insightful. I've loved it. I've learned so much about the movement economy. And yeah, I think for all of our listeners, go check it out. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for joining us. And join us next time to untangle a little more of Web3.
Fantastic. And it's a free app.
Yeah.
Just type Sweat. Install Sweat Coin. This is a step tracker. Sweat Wallet is where Sweat lives.
Nice.
And we're Sweat Economy on Telegram, Twitter, absolutely everywhere.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Untangling Web3.
Don't forget to send us your thoughts, questions, and comments on social media. And be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast provider to catch the next episode. See you next time to untangle a little bit more of Web3.
The views we express here are our own and do not reflect the views of our employers.